Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. And this is, we're concluding our series on Humanity 2.0. And this is the day everything changed. Now, in the last few weeks, we've been on a series called Encounters. And it's been about the encounters that people had with Jesus after the resurrection. So this period of time between the resurrection and then Pentecost, which is 50 days. And so this is we're going to wrap it up with Pentecost. And Pentecost was a very significant day because it was the day that the third part of the Godhead was introduced to planet Earth in a real way. And the church went from a group of confused disciples to an instrument of change that literally just spread out into the whole earth, into, you know, what we're experiencing today is the church in the whole earth. It all started at Pentecost. That's where the church had, like, believers in Jehovah had never, it really hadn't ever gone outside of Israel in the whole history following Jehovah. That system of belief never really went beyond the borders of Israel. You had pockets of people that went around the world, but by and large, it stayed in Israel. Well, at us, it went boom, and it expanded throughout the entire earth. And it's pretty cool. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, it's vital that I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. It's vital that I leave so that you can receive the promise of the Father of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit, you say, well, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, if you want to look it up, there's 493 references to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And that's a great morning Bible study. If you want to grab a coffee and then just go on, like, I like BibleGateway.com. That's my search engine of choice for going through the Bible. Some of you older Christians remember when we actually had to use this thing called a concordance. And it was literally like this thick, and you had to flip through it, and you had to look around. It was work to study the Bible. Now we just have the intraweb that just gives us everything at a moment's notice. But there is so many things if you want to read what the job and the function of the Holy Spirit. There's way too much to cover on a Sunday morning, so I'm gonna focus in on a couple here today. But I want to really focus in on the arrival of the Holy Spirit and what it meant to the lives of people, and what it means to our lives that he's here. And so I'm going to read from the book of Acts. The book of Acts was written by a man named Luke, Dr. Luke. And he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he went on to write the book of Acts. And so he's writing this book. He says, in my first book, I recounted the events of Jesus' life, his actions, his teaching from the beginning of his life until he was taken up into heaven. After his great suffering and vindication, he showed his apostles that he was alive, appearing to them repeatedly over a period of 40 days, giving them many convincing proofs of his resurrection. As before, he spoke constantly of the kingdom of God. During these appearances, he had instructed his chosen messengers through the Holy Spirit, prohibiting them from leaving Jerusalem, but rather requiring them to wait there until they received what he called the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, this is what you heard me teach, that just as John ritually cleansed people with water through baptism, so you will be washed with the Holy Spirit very soon. And when they had gathered just outside Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives, they asked Jesus, is now the time, Lord, the time when you will reestablish your kingdom in our land of Israel. And Jesus said, the Father on his own authority has determined the ages and epochs of history, but you have not been given this knowledge. Here's the knowledge you need. I want you to listen, guys. This is what you need to know. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, then beyond to Judea, Samaria, and finally to the farthest places on the earth. This is really interesting. I find this is funny, actually, is what it is. Because you have to understand here, the disciples asked this question. It says, is now the time? They asked Jesus, is now the time when you will reestablish your kingdom in our land of Israel? After all of this that had just happened in the last 40 days, Jesus being crucified, Jesus rising from the dead, Jesus proclaiming, you know, freedom to the captives, that they had gone through this was a very disappointing process for them. When Jesus was crucified, they were devastated because they thought Jesus was going to take over Israel and become the leader and then take over and free Israel from Roman oppression. The Jewish mind was looking for a political leader in their Messiah. That's what they were looking for, was a political leader. They weren't looking for a savior of the world. They were looking for a political leader who would kick some ass, is what they were looking for. They were looking for political freedom. And so this whole process takes place. Jesus died. He raises from the dead. He makes all these appearances to them, and then they're back to the same question. Is this the time you will reestablish your kingdom in our land of Israel? So after this whole process, they were still stuck in an old way of thinking. They were still stuck in an old way of thinking. And I think so often, you know, how often do we get stuck thinking that Jesus has to fulfill a certain role in my life? If God's going to answer my prayer, it will look like fill in the blank. So how often do we get stuck in our journey where we are predefining what God should be doing in our life rather than letting God actually be God? And oftentimes in the Bible, we find God answering prayers in ways that were very different than what people were expecting. You know, he tells people, I don't have time to go into that. I can't add to this message anymore. And that's not in my notes. I'm not adding to it. Read your Bible. You can see I'm telling you the truth. What's really interesting is that Jesus says to him, this is what you need to know. He said, you don't need to know what's going to happen politically. This is what you need to know. You need the Holy Spirit. Say, well, what's going to happen with my job? Or what's going to happen with the situation? Or what's going to happen? This is what you need to know. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to wait for the Holy Spirit to work. Speak. And Jesus' response, when they asked for Jesus to take control and set things right, Jesus' response was, you wait for the Holy Spirit so that you can make things right. So that you can go, not just Jerusalem, which is basically Jerusalem and Judea, this is the only area they're concerned with. This is my country. It's all I care about. He's saying, not only are you going to become the solution in your country, in your city and your country, he says, you're going to become the solution, my solution for the world. You're going to take this message and the Holy Spirit's going to work healing in you so that you can take healing to the rest of the world. He's going to bring reconciliation in your city so you can bring reconciliation to your country, so you can bring reconciliation to your world. Jesus had to get them unstuck from their ideas. I'm just going to talk to myself for a minute here. He continually has to get me unstuck from my ideas. He has to get me unstuck from what I think should be happening to being allowing him to do what he wants to do. See, they wanted political freedom, but Jesus wanted to bring freedom to the hearts and souls of mankind. They wanted a change in circumstances, but Jesus wanted to bring a change to their very nature. His answer was much bigger than what they were looking for. He told them, you wait. This is what you need to know. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit. You need to go to Jerusalem, and you need to wait there until you've received my promise. And you say, well, what's the Holy Spirit for? Well, there's 493 things that you can read, but I'm going to give you a very quick summary of what is the Holy Spirit for. And this is, Jesus said this when he, in Luke chapter 4, he stood up in the temple and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he said, why the Spirit of the Lord was upon him? Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, which is good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim liberty to those that are captive, recovery of sight to those that are blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is, you know, this is hope to the poor. And this isn't just poor fiscally. This can be poor of spirit. There's hope. You can be replenished. You can have new life. And for those that are poor financially, it's like there's hope. There's fresh starts. There's freedom to the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring freedom. If you've ever had your heart broken, you know that there, a lot of other things in your life don't really matter when your heart's broken. That having that heart healed becomes pretty darn important. Sight to the blind, you know, fresh vision, fresh passion, fresh life, freedom for those that are oppressed. And I love the last one, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And see, all the Jewish people knew what this meant. This is the year of Jubilee. For us, Jubilee is a dinner theater. But for the Jews, Jubilee was a very significant year. You imagine every 50 years, the nation of Israel had the year of Jubilee. And it was a year that all debts were erased. So if you had lost your house in a business deal, in every 50 years, that house had to be returned back to your family. If you lost your land, you'd taken a loan out on your land and you went into a business deal and you lost it. Every 50 years, that land had to be restored back to the family. This is the year of Jubilee. And Jesus was saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to declare to you a year of that your debts are erased, your sins are erased. The debt that you owe, that you can't pay, is being erased. And it's not just for us, but it's for those around us. The Holy Spirit works in us so he can work through us. He brings healing to us so he can bring healing through us. He brings life to us and vision to us so that he can bring those things through us as well. And so here we are, Acts chapter 2. The disciples are waiting in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. This is a great story, you guys. Just pull up your pants and get ready here for a great, great story. Because it's great. Acts chapter 2. Picture yourself among the disciples. I love this. The Passion Translation is such a great translation of the Bible. Picture yourself among the disciples. A sound roars from the sky without warning. The roar of a violent wind, and the whole house where you are gathered reverberates with the sound. Then a flame appears, and it divides into smaller flames, and spreading from one person to the next. And all the people present are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin speaking in languages they've never spoken, as the Spirit empowers them. This is pretty cool. Something is happening. You imagine, like, the room starts shaking. And you've been in a house where, like, a thunderstorm, that pre-wind before the storm starts to shake the whole house, and you start to wonder, am I safe? Is it all good? Well, imagine that happens, and then imagine like a ball of flame appears in the room. Now you'll start to wonder, am I safe? And then it begins to split over top of everybody there. And then everybody begins to speak in a language that they haven't spoken in before. Then you start to wonder, what's in the punch? But listen to this. Because of the holy festival, the festival of Pentecost, there are devout Jews staying as pilgrims in Jerusalem from every nation under the sun. They hear the sound and a crowd gathers. So it's not only are the disciples in the house hearing this, but people down the street are hearing it. People all around the community hear this noise. And they begin to check this out. What's going on? And they begin to hear this noise. And as they come, they begin to hear. And listen to what it says they hear. They are amazed. They hear the sound. A crowd gathers. They're amazed because each of them can hear the group speaking in their native languages. And they're shocked and amazed by this. And it's that this they're all hearing the disciples speak in the nation that they came from. And it goes on to list it. Just a minute. Aren't all these people Galileans? How in the world do we hear our native languages being spoken? Look, there's Parthians here, and Medes, and Elamites, and Mesopotamians, and Judeans, and residents of Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asians. Friggins. Who invited those friggin' people? That's great. Pamphylians, Egyptians, Libyans from Cyrene, Romans, including both Jews by birth and converts, Cretans and Arabs, were each in our own language hearing these people talk about God's powerful deeds. And then amazement became confusion, as it always does. What does this mean? And so Peter got up and preached. It says, after he preached, the people had heard him preach. It said their hearts were pierced, and they said to Peter and the fellow apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said, reconsider your lives and change your direction. Participate in the ceremonial washing of baptism in the name of Jesus, God's anointed, the liberating King, and your sins will be forgiven, and the gift of the Holy Spirit will be yours. And I love this part because, you know, there's a whole group of people that think, well, the Holy Spirit was only for those people right there at that time. That gift was only for them. And this is what Peter said, for the promise of the Spirit is for you, for your children, for all people, even those considered outsiders and outcasts. The Lord our God invites everyone. Everybody say everyone. The Lord our God invites everyone to come to him. Peter was pleading and offering many logical reasons to believe. Whoever made a place for his message in their hearts received the baptism. And in fact, that day alone, about 3,000 people joined the disciples. Something tremendous. These guys went from a group of disheartened followers of Jesus to boldly standing up before a large group of people and proclaiming who Jesus was. And the Holy Spirit changed them, changed their very nature, changed their very direction. Then it goes on to say the community, this is what happened with the new people who believed. It says the community continually committed themselves to learning what the apostles taught, gathering for fellowship, breaking bread and praying. Everyone felt a sense of awe because the apostles were doing many signs and wonders among them. There was an intense sense of togetherness among all who believed, and they shared all their material possessions in trust. They sold any possessions and goods that did not benefit the community and used the money to help everyone in need. They were unified as they worshiped at the temple day after day. In homes, they broke bread and shared meals with glad and generous hearts. And the new disciples, praise God, they enjoyed the goodwill of all the people of the city. And day after day, the Lord added to their number everyone who was experiencing liberation. This is the birth of the church. This is where it started. And there's some pretty amazing things that happened here. And they give the account here of what happened in Jerusalem. As you read through the book of Acts, it looked a little different in every community. The point is there's some key components in here that allow for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives and in the lives of the people. And you know, the number, I think maybe the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit that we find is the gift of healthy and holy community. This is one of the first things we see coming as a result of the gift of the Holy Spirit, is this new community coming together, living healthy and holy. Really, they're looking out for each other. They're taking care of one another. You know, these were oppressed people, especially in the Jewish world. This would be before the Gentiles really became a part of the church. This was the Jewish church that was being born at this time, and there were people starving. They take everything they have and pool it together to make sure everybody is taken care of. And you understand that this is something very different than you would expect to see out of people. There's something that's so transformed in their community. The gift of the Holy Spirit is healthy, holy community. And you know where that started was with language. It started with language. Everybody heard the disciples speaking in their own language. Well, that's a miracle in itself. For me just to get my wife to understand what I'm saying. That's a minor miracle. For me to understand what she's saying, that's an epic miracle. Come on, don't act like you don't know. Everybody heard the disciples and they understood. They heard and they understood. And you know, one of the first things the Holy Spirit does is starts to break down communication barriers in our lives. Begins to break down the barriers that we're good at erecting, but Jesus was good at tearing barriers down. And the Holy Spirit, He changes the way we talk. He changes the way we communicate. Because communication creates community. Healthy communication creates community. Unhealthy communication destroys community. The community continually committed themselves to learning, to gathering for fellowship, for breaking bread, for praying. These are some of the components that allow us to experience the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it says, this is cool, because it says they experienced the goodwill of all the people of the city. They experienced, one version said they experienced the favor of the city. And what you think, well, why would they experience favor in the city? In fact, a lot of times we kind of tend to think that if the church is really standing up for what's right, the world should hate it a little bit. But the thing is, in the scriptures, we don't find that the world hates the church. We find there's political leaders that hated the church. But by and large, the communities loved the church because of what the church did in the communities. And eventually, when the church became the official religion of state in Rome, it was because of their role in the community that had become so attractive. The way they lived had become so attractive to people that you had political leaders that were basically saying, we need everybody to embrace this way of living because it is such a healthy way of living. They take care of each other. They care for one another. They feed their poor. They take care of their widows. They take care of their orphans. They don't sacrifice their babies to idols. They're good folk. They're good people. And that's what caught their attention. In fact, it's something happened in the early church that had never happened before in the history of mankind. And it was people came together in a way they had never come together before. And as the church began to grow, as it began to expand, as it began to move into Rome and into the Roman world, the Jews and the Greeks began coming together. That had never happened before. Like the Gentiles or the Greeks, they weren't welcome in the synagogue. They weren't allowed in the synagogue. But here in the church, you had Jews and you had Greeks and you had barbarians and you had it talks about this whole list, the Scythians. I don't know who the Scythians are, but they're listed, so they must have done something important. But it lists all these people that came together. Women and men came together to worship, and slaves and masters, rich and poor, they all came together and they lived in community together. And this had never happened before. And it, to put it like in a modern day equivalent, this would be the same as Donald Trump opening up his resorts so the Mexicans can have church in them. That's literally, I'm not even exaggerating. That's exactly what was happening. The barriers between people were being torn down. They weren't building no friggin' walls. Friggin', you get that little reference? Keep the friggins out. I thought it was funny. All right, moving right along, Mr. Funny Man. This is to the point where when Paul wrote the book of Galatians, this is what he said about the distinctions between people, the distinctions between Greeks and Jews. He said, we no longer see each other in our former state. We don't see what used to define us. We don't see Jew, we don't see non-Jew, we don't see rich, we don't see poor, we don't see male, we don't see female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ. So there is no distinction between us. It's a powerful statement. We are all one through our union with Jesus Christ. They laid aside old identities to pick up a new and greater identity, to become as one in Christ. They didn't see their social. They didn't see their economic status. They didn't see any of the definitions that were common in that day to divide people. They just saw, we are followers of Jesus, and our identity is together in Him. We're going to let go of an earthly identity to embrace a greater identity. And this is what made the church so attractive. It's the way the church took care of each other that caught the attention of the world. But all that started with the Holy Spirit. So how do you experience Spirit-filled life? Well, Peter, this is exactly what they asked. What do we do? What do we do now? It's like, okay, we're sold. What do we do? And he said, the first thing you do is reconsider your lives and change your direction. Reconsider your lives and change your direction. And there's an old word that used to go with that. It was called the word repent. But we have so much predefinition that goes with that word. It's a terrible word now because it doesn't mean in our language what it actually means. Repent means reconsider and change your direction. Reconsider your life and change your direction. It's not being sorry. It's doing something different so something different can happen. And then it's really important is don't stop with just reconsidering. Don't stop with reconsidering your life, because that doesn't leave you in a place of hope. A lot of times that leaves you in a place of frustration. When you sit down and look at certain areas of your life and they're not the way you want them, you say, great, well, it's not the way I want it. What good is that doing me? Well, then he says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift. Receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because it's for you, it's for your children, it's for everyone. Even for those who are considered outsiders and outcasts, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You say, how do I receive a gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, this is really tough. You ask for it. Just receive it. I said, well, what do I have to do? Well, you don't have to do anything. What do you have to do to get a birthday gift from your parents? You know? You don't do anything. You just say thank you and receive it. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How else do you experience a Spirit-filled life? You know, here's some really important things. Just be intentional about the community in which you surround yourself. Be intentional with the community in which you surround yourself. Be careful what's influencing your thoughts. You know, some things may sound right, but they're not good. Some things may be right, but they might not be good. It might be true, but they might not be good. What's fueling your thinking? Guard what spirit you allow to move you to action. What kind of thinking is fueling your actions? It's easy to slip into a mode where you start to think, oh, I'm right, so God is on my side. God's not on sides. He is a side. The Spirit of God isn't to support our rightness. It's to lead us to a place where we bring health and healing and reconciliation and wholeness to our community, to the people we interact with. That's the Holy Spirit is for us. It's not for me. It's for us. It's to do something in us together. Let's stand up. And I want to just, as we finish this portion of the service, I want to just close in prayer. And it's a prayer inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill our lives, to lead us, to speak to us, but also to renew our hearts and to bring healing and health and wholeness to our lives so that we can bring healing and health and wholeness to those that we encounter throughout our week and throughout our days. And if you want to be included in that prayer, you can just join me as I pray. Jesus, I invite your Holy Spirit to fill my life. Holy Spirit, would you come into my life? Lead me. Change me. Renew my heart. Heal my heart. Heal my spirit. Teach me how to walk with you. Teach me how to walk with others and bring healing to others. Teach me how to break down barriers so that people can know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.